We're back on the 1-2-3 show, Walking on Sunshine, Katrina and the Waves, back with Lawrence and Nick. How you guys going?
Doing very well, thanks.
You're a little bit sick, actually, Lawrence.
I'm still recovering. I'm on isotonic drinks.
On the Pekari sweat. So when we last left our conversation, we were on a ferry from Azerbaijan to Kazakhstan. Pick up the story from there.
So we were originally meant to be going to Turkmenistan, but due to the Turkmens having a national holiday on the day they told us to come back and pick up the visa, we couldn't get the visa, so we had to divert via Kazakhstan. During this whole admin process and nightmare, we found out that we'd somehow broken the law by not registering in the country, although we had registered in the country, but the guy who told us we'd registered didn't register us. So they then said you had to be deported. So we ended up with a deportation letter from the immigration services and on a ferry going to Kazakhstan. It meant that we're now not allowed to go back to Azerbaijan for the next 3 years.
Which really, you were banking on that. You really wanted to go back to Azerbaijan.
Well, Eurovision's already left. They've already done it in Azerbaijan.
It's the new Ibiza, right? It's like the new spot. All right, that is excellent. So, but getting deported, was that like a thought that like, oh, this journey might be over and it's not even in our control?
Well, we did ask when we got the deportation letter, we did ask, well, first of all, is it going to appear on our passport? And they said, no, they were very relaxed about it. They said, no, don't worry. Totally fine. And can we be deported onward to Kazakhstan? And I said,
so nice about it, because originally it was, you're meant to be banned from the country for 5 years. And we said, could you shorten it a little bit? They were like, oh yeah, we'll do it for 3 and leave when you want, kind of thing. Leave by your own means when you feel like it, on whatever transport you want. So yeah, they were really nice about it. And they said it wasn't our fault, but they had to do it by their regulations. So.
But those countries are a bit risky, a bit more politically unstable, maybe a bit more dangerous. Did you talk to me about those countries like Afghanistan and stuff, where I'm guessing they don't get a lot of cyclists?
Well, yeah, very little was known about Central Asia, I think we found. We couldn't tell our stance apart before we actually landed in Kazakhstan. And we had the opportunity to go and do a loop through Afghanistan, from Tajikistan. And, that was an incredible experience because, we were in Tajikistan. There's a river that separates the two countries. And along that river is a major drugs route from Afghanistan, gets transported through Tajikistan into China. So it wasn't the kind of safest option, but we had a little scout out before, and everyone says as soon as you mention Afghanistan, they think Taliban, right?
Right.
So that's a major issue we looked into, and it's not a Taliban area. We asked the border guard as we got our visas and kind of did the long walk across the bridge with the guys with AK-47s on the end of the bridge.
Wow.
And the sun kind of glittering over the water. It was quite an epic scene. And we said, so, you know, How's it going in sign language? We have no idea how to communicate this.
Farsi, not our second language.
Humvees on the other side, just having a good stare down. And they said, oh, you basically, the gist of it was you shouldn't have come here, it's very dangerous.
Really?
And they said, oh, so what's the danger? And they said, well, there are wolves. It's very, very, very cold. Now it's going to be minus 40, during the night time. And the roads are very bad. And we said, okay. So what about the Taliban? He goes, oh no, Taliban, no problem. So we're like, oh, it's fine then, there's no problem.
You can fight off a wolf, I'm sure, right?
Well, so we arrived into Afghanistan. We were aiming to do a little loop in 2 days, because only about 100 kilometers, but we ended up spending 5 or 6. It was some of the slowest, cycling. I'm not even sure you could call it cycling, because we were walking the bikes more than half the time, covering about 20 kilometers a day through like deep sand, very, very, very steep mountain roads. Even the cars were getting stuck and having to get pushed, and bricks were being put under the cars to kind of ease them up.
You have to cross like 10 meters of sheet ice and frozen rivers and things. Yes.
There was no shops at this point. There were definitely no hotels. So what was actually really humbling during that part of the trip is, we were welcomed in everywhere. Like, you can't make a subtle entrance as two guys on bicycles into an Afghan village. So we were like the center of attention wherever we went. So, which is great in some respects, because people were very welcoming, had us over and had tea and put a spread of like breads and things on the floor. Also not great in other situations when you see, you know, a big gun on a rock on the side of the road, and you do think, ah, this is a drugs highway. Let's pretend we didn't see that. Let's just keep going and just, not worry about that. And definitely don't try and cycle during the night time when all this activity happens.
So what is the attitude towards cyclists in some of these countries you went through? I pointed out a news story to you guys during the break of women in Afghanistan making sort of a political statement by cycling. It's, you know, it seems outrageous that they can't cycle, but cycling is like a big taboo over there for women. Were they, you know, amazed to see people biking through Afghanistan?
Yeah, they thought we were crazy.
Don't worry, I do as well, don't worry.
Most people in those kind of areas where we went to were just like, why are you here? Firstly, why are you here? And secondly, why are you doing it on a bicycle? They couldn't really grasp the concept of what we were doing, but they were very welcoming. They thought we were nuts, courageous, and doing it for a good cause mostly. But as two guys, there was never any issue about, like, you shouldn't be doing this kind of stuff. Just a bit kind of like, they couldn't really grasp the concept. What are you doing? Kind of thing.
Well, excellent. And so how good did it feel to finally sort of touch down and finish the big trip, and you've raised all this money? How did it feel when you, you know, got to the top of the peak? You probably weren't feeling too crash hot, I'm guessing, Lawrence? A little bit ill?
Yeah, so I was physically and mentally pretty exhausted, and I don't think the sun helped too much. But, like, the feeling just going through that finish line on the peak was amazing. Having friends and family over, and there was a surprise visit from my girlfriend who flew over just
Which
I didn't know until I saw her at the finish line. Yeah, it was like such a good feeling to cross that line. There was always that kind of looking forward to finishing, but at the same time not wanting it to ever end, kind of feeling. And then it ended, and yeah, it's really, really cool to see everyone there.
It's totally surreal. I think I cried like a baby. I don't even remember what happened really going up the peak. It was, everyone billed the peak as like this big, big, difficult challenge at the end. We were running on adrenaline the whole way through, and it wasn't, I wouldn't say it ranked in the top 20.
And then you just said you should try crossing two deserts. Yeah, that is a challenge. This mountain, not so big.
Well, there are moments in the mountain desert where you wouldn't see people all day, and then you come, you know, you ride through Kowloon, one of the most densely populated areas in the world, and then up the peak, and you see this Hong Kong skyline. It's like, it's pretty incredible. Look, you know, if you juxtapose those two experiences.
Excellent. So I'm going to read some listener questions. People wrote into the show a little bit before you guys got here, and we can answer some questions for some people listening.
Yeah,
cool
sure.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
All right, so this one's from Hiroko. She asked, did you guys shave your legs like triathletes to sort of aerodynamic your journey?
Well, no, is the short answer. We were never, ever going at speeds fast enough to cut the milliseconds off. I'm not sure whether 3 or 4 kilometres an hour in Afghanistan would have been made faster with shaved legs, but it was something that I think we once maybe joked about, but no, we still have all the hair, plus extra hair on our face now.
She also asked, what do you do if you need to go to the loo? Do you carry toilet paper? If so, which country had the nicest toilet paper?
That is a very interesting question. Am I allowed to say this on radio? Because,
well, we'll find out soon.
Loos in Europe, great. Loos in the desert, non-existent. So we had to, go for some, we call them danger stops, because there was some traffic in the desert and there's nowhere to hide, basically. So
you'd be lucky if you had a rock.
Yeah.
To hide behind.
Yeah. And often when nature called, it called pretty suddenly, because we all both got food poisoning at various moments. So if we weren't vomiting, it was kind of quite necessary. Toilet breaks. So
we carried a lot of toilet paper.
Yeah, in fact, it's an automatic reaction now. Whenever we find toilet paper, we just say,
as we leave a hotel in the morning, we just take whatever's left from the toilet roll.
Even now in Hong Kong, we're like, we come to the hotel, we're like, they've got toilet paper, right, I'll be having that. Thank you.
Free toilet paper? Are you kidding me?
I don't know where the best toilet paper was, but the worst was in, where was the brown recycled one?
Uzbekistan.
Recycled as in pre-used toilet paper? Or
I hope not, almost sandpaper-esque.
Yeah.
Okay, did you guys couch surf, or what's the strangest place you stayed in?
We couch surfed once.
Once or twice, yeah.
Yeah, we found there's something called warm showers, which is couch surfing for cycle tourists.
It's got a dodgy name, but it's much less dodgy than it sounds.
Warm showers.
It's great because it's couch surfing, but they know what you need as a cyclist, so hence warm showers, the name. They give you a warm shower, they give you as much carbohydrate as possible, and they understand like what you're going through, kind of thing.
they can empathize with you. Excellent. Also, when you see a cyclist, do you automatically become buddy-buddy with them? So you say, oh, you're cycling too.
Yeah. As soon as you see...
The unspoken bond of cyclists.
Cyclists, we become friends with. As soon as you see cyclists with panniers, it's literally like a gold mine, and everyone stop. Like, you'll stop even if you're on like the motorway, you'll stop and someone will turn around and cross over and take a photo together, especially in Central Asia where you see one every week or every month or every 2 months.
The strangest place we ever stayed, in Europe we nearly got combine harvested when we stayed in a field.
In Holland.
We stayed in abandoned building sites in Turkey, and there was a wild dog kind of attack in the ground floor of that, so we had to barricade ourselves upstairs. In the Pamirs, we were forced to stay inside because it's far too cold. So we didn't get to camp there, which was great because we were invited in by local people on the way. And what else can I can't think.
We had to climb over a wall in order to find some shelter when it was minus 30 degrees because there was nowhere to stay, and they said you have to cycle 70 kilometers back from where you've come, and we're like, that's where we stayed last night. You don't realize that 70 kilometers for us is not an hour. So we had to climb over a wall so that we could get through a area where it was guarded by dogs in order to find a little bit of shelter we could light a fire and stuff. So.
But the thing is, you're mostly so tired at the end of the day, you can basically sleep upright. So sleeping was not really a problem the whole way through.
Mate, we're going to have to head to the 2:30 news. It's been so much fun having Lawrence and Nick on the show. Thanks so much for coming in, guys.
No worries.
We're still looking for donations. You really want to hit your target of £1 per kilometre, correct?
We do, yeah.
So where can people go to donate or to help out?
Our donation page is justgiving.com/ Journey to the East, and our Facebook page is Journey to the East, which is facebook.com/ Journey to the East 2014.
Excellent. Thanks so much for coming in, guys.
No worries. Thanks for having us.
The website is journeytotheeast.com. Check it out. Here's the 2:30 news, rather, with Anna Marie Evans.